ignorance that is in them, ignorance really in its truest definition is a lack of knowledge, you know, a lack of being taught. But when he speaks about the ignorance that's in them, it's kind of like when Jesus spoke to the Jews and he said, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If the light that's in you. See, they thought that they had great light. And these Gentiles thought they had great knowledge and great understanding. But he said, that's the ignorance that's in you. The thing that you think is right and you think is true, that's the ignorance that's in you, and that's the thing that's alienated you from the life of God because of the blindness of their hearts. To the Corinthians and the Galatians is the one that turned to Moses with all their heart to serve under Moses, but to this day in the reading of Moses, he said, the veil remains over the heart of the people. That darkness that remains in the reading of Moses. But when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be done away. And we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. As long as we're reading Moses, as long as we're serving in the vanity of our mind, learning how to do the commandments and the ordinances and all these things in that day of Moses, then we're going to walk in darkness. And we're going to walk in the vanity of our mind. I want to leave Ephesians. I could go, there's much more very good teaching below. But I want to look over into Romans, just touch one verse. Romans, two verses, Romans 1 and 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I just wanted you to see what Paul said. God, whom I serve with my spirit. He didn't serve Him with his mind. He served Him with his spirit. He served Him with his spirit. And that's so important to understand. And really, just reading this much, we can't understand what it is to serve Him with our spirit. But we're going over from there to the 7th chapter of Romans. And I really meant to just touch a base here and go on, but early this morning, you know, going through the Scriptures, some other things that caught my mind. But he said in Romans, the 7th chapter and the 5th verse, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. When they served God by the law, they served in the oldness of the letter. They served God with their minds. But serving God in newness of spirit is a new heart, a new nature. The new covenant is the law of God written upon the heart and in our inward parts. That is the new covenant. God said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith God. I'll write my laws in their hearts. I'll put them in their inward parts. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those that are born again of the Spirit of God. He that's born of the flesh, Jesus said, is flesh. But he that's born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's why we serve God. We're new creations. We serve God. And I must make it very clear, because this is a stumbling block for multitudes in the modern church. But the child of God is not a sinner. He has a new heart, a new nature. And John very clearly states, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And that's the climax of his epistle. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But coming back to the 7th chapter and the 5th verse, Paul says, when we were in the flesh. When we were in the flesh, Paul is not speaking of a child of God. He is not speaking of a child of God. He has a, when we were, but now we are delivered from the law. Christ died to redeem us. Scripture says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. Did you get that? He came to redeem those Jews that were under the law. Because that law was not a blessing to them, that law was a curse to them. In Galatians 3:10, Paul said, as many as are of the law are under the curse. What that means, of the law, that means that what you are is a result of the law and the program in the mind and how to live for God and all these things. He said, as many as are of the law, you're a product of that. Serving in the vanity of the mind. He said, you're under a curse. But He also died to redeem us from all iniquity. To redeem us from sin. Praise God. Not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold from our vain lifestyle given us by tradition from our fathers, but by the precious blood of the Lamb we're redeemed. Well, when He says here, when we were in the flesh, He starts something that's going to continue in the same vein progressively until the 8th chapter and 8th verse. He comes to a conclusion. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the conclusion of everything between the 7th chapter and the 5th verse, when we were in the flesh. And the conclusion of that is, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. So coming back to the 5th chapter, 7th chapter, when we were in the flesh, Paul is speaking of his days as Saul of Tarsus before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And it's pretty easy to follow. But one thing I want to establish, first of all, is the Jew, and Saul of Tarsus was the greatest among the Jews. The church tends to have a picture of the Saul of Tarsus as this evil, vile, murderous, sinful, horrible individual. That's not the picture of Saul of Tarsus whatsoever. He gave everything he had reason to trust in under the law. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's when he said circumcised the 8th day. Concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness that is by the law, I was blameless. This man was not a liar. He's not a thief. He's not an adulterer. He's not a fornicator. He's none of that. You could not look at his lifestyle and find any sin in his lifestyle. Because concerning all the righteousness that's by the law, he said, I was blameless. At the same time, he was persecuting the church. And the law of Moses gave him permission to arrest the Christians as heretics, as blasphemers. The law of Moses gave them permission to crucify the Son of God. It was the law that cursed Jesus Christ, because it's the law that said, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. It was the law that cursed him. And so Saul of Tarsus was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest of all the teachers of the law in Israel. The greatest of them sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was beyond many of his brothers in the Jews' religion, profited beyond many of his brothers in the Jews' religion. And it goes into great detail telling of the greatness of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, nor did any other Jew have the concept of a sin nature. They did not believe they were sinners because they had the law. Now, Paul, to show this in Galatians 2 and 15, Paul was reproving Peter over something that happened over at Antioch when he withdrew from the Gentile believers. When certain came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, he withdrew from the Gentiles and refused to eat with them, which he had done in the past. And Paul reproved him. But he said, we who are Jews and not sinners of the Gentiles. See, the Jewish mindset is that we're not sinners. Gentiles are sinners, but we're not sinners. That was a Jewish mindset. Saul of Tarsus did not believe that he was a sinner. And he could point to his lifestyle to prove that he was not a sinner. Blameless. Blameless to prove that he was not a sinner, because he was not committing sin. Well, we go into this, but when we were in the flesh, Paul in another place in Galatians, the third chapter, actually deals with the law of Moses as being a fleshly worship. Having begun in the Spirit, or you now made perfect by the flesh. You know, and that's your abilities to keep laws and commandments and ordinances and so on. You know, because that's what they were turning to do. But nevertheless, here he says, but now being delivered from the law, being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldest letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Do you see that? What commandment says, thou shalt not covet? The 10th commandment. The last commandment of God says, thou shalt not covet. It's the only commandment that deals with the condition of the heart of an individual. The only one, thou shalt not commit adultery, deals with the actions of the person. Thou shalt not kill, deals with the actions of a person. Thou shalt not bear false witness, deals with the actions of the person. Every one of them deals with the actions of the person. And the actions of a person, under certain circumstances, can be restrained, can be controlled, can be overcome in certain circumstances. That's the effort of every step plan that they give to a drug addict, an alcoholic, a sex addict, or anything else, is to try to help them restrain their actions. And they're very, very unsuccessful, but they do help a few people. I've known people, alcoholics, that under Alcoholics Anonymous have been dry for many, many years. And they would tell me, but I'm an alcoholic. I'll always be an alcoholic. I'm not saying I'll never drink again, but he'd say, but I'm not going to drink today. And that's the reason they sing that song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. That was written for Alcoholics Anonymous. And one day at a time, sweet Jesus. But I tell you that when we were born of God, He gave us eternity if we'll live in it. Amen. Pray not one day at a time. That's the vanity of the mind. Well, I can do it one day at a time. If I can do it today, I can do it tomorrow. If I can do it tomorrow, I can do it next month. And that's the vanity of the mind. That's the vanity of the mind. But let's continue on with what Paul is saying here. He says, I have not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, he obviously knew all of these commandments. And it's just as obvious that he discovered something in him. The 10th commandment condemned him. And he's going to use the word commandment 6 times. I think it's in the next 5 or 6 verses. And he's not going to use the word commandment again. But when he uses the word commandment, in every place, he's speaking about the 10th commandment. The 10th, thou shalt not covet. And so let's read. Sin taking occasion by the 10th commandment that says, thou shalt not covet. Now the man was not a thief, so he didn't steal his neighbor's donkey. He didn't commit adultery, so he didn't take his neighbor's wife. And you can go through all the other commandments, and he didn't do these things because he didn't want to do them. He was raised in a very devout religion. That law was everything to him. But when he discovered that though he didn't steal his neighbor's donkey, that the 10th commandment said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's donkey. While he did not take his neighbor's wife, the 10th commandment said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And Jesus dealt with this in the Sermon on the Mount. When he said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right on. Don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you have committed adultery. And what did Jesus do? He said, you've heard this, if it's the 7th, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he took them to the 10th. He took them to the 10th commandment. That if you look upon that woman and luster after her in your heart, you have committed adultery. Can you see that? Jesus took them to that 10th commandment. Well, Saul of Tarsus came to that 10th commandment. He said this, I've not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by that 10th commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. When he discovered sin in his heart, everything broke loose. When he discovered it in his heart. For without the law, sin was dead. But I was alive without the law once. But when the 10th commandment came, I didn't have no problem serving God until one day I woke up and realized that the sin in my heart was sin. The desires of my heart were sin. I was not committing them, but the desires were in my heart. And that's amazing, because this is the thing. This discovery is what destroys Saul of Tarsus. It drags him down to recognition that I am a sinner. There's sin in my heart. Because as a Jew, he had no consciousness of a sin nature whatsoever. Because they just didn't do it. When I first began seeing this, and it was 1990 in that camp meeting, I think, there's a good friend, preached for us many times, a hold of this preacher from Port Arthur, I think it was. And he was in a camp meeting, but he got upset. And as he walked out when the altar call was given, he had a long ways to drive, I understand that. But he spoke, I think, to the person sitting at the desk. He said, it's not sin until you do it. But it is sin. It is sin when it's in your heart, when it's in your mind. It is sin in your heart. And this is what got a hold of Saul of Tarsus. He said, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He could no longer appease himself and continue as before. He said, and the commandment, 10th commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. You see, for a child of God, one that's born of God, one that's freed, his heart purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to do, was to purify the heart of the people. To wash Revelations 1 and 5 unto He who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Praise God. That's what He shed that blood for, was to wash us from our sins in His own blood. To purify our hearts. And someone said, well, said, my problem is not in my heart, it's in my mind. But Jesus said, everything that defiles the person comes out of the heart. And the first thing that He said comes out of the heart, He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thinking. We think with our minds. But He said, evil thinking comes out of the heart. It comes out of the heart. Adulteries, fornication, murders. Comes out of the heart. The commandment that was ordained to life I found to be death, and sin taken occasion by that 10th commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. It slew me. When He recognized that sin in the heart, sin in the heart is sin. He recognized for the first time in His life that He was a sinner. What a horrible, horrible... You can look around at those lesser than us, so-called, and what horrible people they are, and sinners and abominations and everything else. And though you're not living that lifestyle, and though you're not doing those same things, you wake up to realize that the attraction in your heart, that you're no different than them. That you're no different than them. He said, it deceived me, and by it, it slew me. It slew me by the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's land, thy neighbor's ox, thy neighbor's donkey, thy neighbor's wife, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. It took it, that commandment, and it slew me. It killed me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the 10th commandment is holy. Why would He say the law is holy and the commandment is holy? He's speaking the same thing. He's specific. The law is holy and the 10th commandment is holy and just and good. Was that which was made good, good made death for me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the 10th commandment might become exceeding sinful. That's when he became a sinner in his own sight. He became a sinner in his own sight. And of course, in persecuting the church, yes, his heart was filled with anger and bitterness, hatred against the Christians. But he could justify it all by the law. But I doubt that the man ever became an adulterer, a burglar, you know, a petty thief. I doubt that he ever became that. But the load that he was carrying in his heart. We look at Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout man that feared God with his whole household, that prayed always, that gave much alms to the people. And you'd say, my, I wish I had a church full of them. but he wasn't saved. How would anybody know that he wasn't saved? He was devout. He feared God. He loved God. He prayed always. He gave much money. He fasted. Only Cornelius could know. And it had to be what was in his heart. It had to be that thing in his heart. If that thing in his heart was not taken away, Cornelius was not looking for forgiveness. He's looking for deliverance from something that nobody else could see, that nobody else could know about. But he's seeking deliverance for that. And he found it. He found it. Peter bore record of that day in the 15th chapter of Acts. He said, God who knoweth the hearts, bear witness of them, Cornelius and his house, giving them the Holy Ghost even as we, purifying their hearts by faith. I'll tell you, that man's heart was as pure as the new snow when the Holy Ghost came in. The Holy Ghost does not fill sinners. And it doesn't fill those that are so strong in their willpower that they can cease from all visible sin. It fills only those whose hearts have been washed and made pure and clean in the blood of the Lamb. But he continues here. He says, sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Let me say something. Not many people accept what I'm going to say. But the law of God and the law of Moses are two totally different laws. Very clearly spoken in the Scriptures. Read Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, and go on into the 6th chapter, which starts the law of Moses. And then go to the end of the law of Moses, to Deuteronomy 29 and 1. And it's very clear that these were two totally different laws. And if they had listened to God when He spoke from the mountain, the law of Moses would never, ever have been given. It was added, Paul said, because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And that was when Christ would come. There'd be another Passover, and there'd be another day of Pentecost, and then there'd be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests, a peculiar treasure in that 120 that grew from there to turn the world upside down in their day. But here he says, sin might become exceeding, for we know that the law is spiritual. Oh, that's where I was. The law of Moses is not spiritual. How can I say that? Because the Scripture tells us in Hebrews that even that high priest stood only through divers washings and cleansings and baptisms and all these things, and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation, which is when Christ came. It was imposed upon them, and he called it carnal ordinances. But the law of God is spiritual, because the law of God is intended for the heart. It was to be written on the heart. In the new covenant, it is written on the heart. And so when he says, for the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, he's speaking about the law of God is spiritual, and it's in the law of God that discovered the condition of his heart in the 10th commandment. It wasn't the law of Moses. The law of Moses could not condemn that man in any point, because concerning all the righteousness of the law of Moses, he was blameless. Someone said, nobody could do that. Saul of Tarshish did. Zechariah and Elizabeth did. And there's others that were said to be righteous, keeping all the commandments and ordinances blamelessly. And they had all the righteousness that the law could give them, but it could not make them righteous before God. Okay, we know that I'm carnal. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That cannot be a child of God. That cannot be a child of God. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is a horrible realization that Saul of Tarsus has come to, that it's not me, it's sin that's in me. If I'm doing things I don't want to do, maybe it's the persecution of the church, maybe it's the hatred that is in his heart, the violence and the murder. Saul breathing out threatenings against the church. A person that's every breath is breathing out threatenings cannot be at peace within themselves. They cannot be. They simply cannot be. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not," he comes to this conclusion a second time, "it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." When I would do good, when I'm serving by the vanity of my mind, I know what's right and I try to do it. But that's not what salvation is about. And he said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Sin, the knowledge of sin, the knowledge that sin was in his heart, destroyed Saul of Tarsus. It brought him down into captivity. It ruled over him, a slave to it, until he came to the knowledge that sin in the heart is sin. It didn't have that power over him. That's part of the truth that must be preached, that sin in the heart is sin. A church world that says we're all sinners, we sin every day, will sin as long as we live in this body of flesh. But the Apostle Paul said, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Praise the Lord. But the knowledge of sin in the heart, believe me, I faced this 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and it was destroying me, had destroyed me. It will bring a person to that cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's not something a child of God gets up and says every day. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's what salvation is. Praise God. That's what salvation is. I go back and teach. It's been many of you are new to the church and some saved. You know, never heard, been through this before. It's the reason this morning I come to it. Because sin in the heart is sin. We come to the Lord, we go through a procedure and some people and try to get things straightened out and get their life on track. But sin in the heart is sin. And if it never brings that person down to that cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is not a method. This is the cry of absolute despair. Absolute despair. I'm going to hell and I can't stop it. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. Who should deliver me from this body of death? But see, he knew the answer at the time that he related the problem. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he comes to that last verse of the 7th chapter of Romans. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's not giving the answer. He is summarizing the problem. With my mind. This is Saul of Tarsus again. He's relating the problem. See, he's going to keep relating this. He's going to start in that next chapter. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what's he talking about? Really, that after should be according to, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those that are not serving in the vanity of their mind, those that are serving God with their spirit, there's no condemnation. Why? Because Christ has made us free. He goes into that next verse, 8th chapter. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But what did that last verse of the previous chapter say? So then with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. With my mind, that's a problem. With my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But here he said, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When He hung on that cross, He sentenced the sin that was in me and in you to death on that cross. He sentenced it. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law could kill the sinner. It could not kill the sin that was in the sinner. I was a sinner. Guess what? You were a sinner. But He came in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, because of sin, to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh and the vanity of our minds, but according to the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Child of God, born of God, you've been made free. And if you hadn't been made free, there's still a Savior. There's still a Savior. If you haven't been made free, don't seek a program. Don't seek to put things in your mind that's going to help you overcome. When a person professes to have power over sin, they're also confessing that sin is still within. They profess to have power over sin. I have power over sin. They're confessing that sin is still within. But Christ died to make us free from sin, to serve God.